Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Look at that, Nick. I keep my head up, and you will end this.
I'm just getting warmed up. This is Von Clausewitz shit. Total fucking war.
Fuck.
No. I'm gonna pull the whole thing down. I'm gonna bring the whole fucking diseased, corrupt temple down on your head. It's gotta be biblical.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your host with the most, and the man with the show is going to give you all you need to know. This is Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am A.J. Orsini. Cut that shit off, because I am back home. I am here in the House of O. The king is back in his kingdom, and just in time, because it appears over the last few weeks while I was on vacay, the world has spun around on its head, and we are headed for war. We are headed for war. Gather your muskets. Get your torches ready. We are here for war. Yeah. Nothing. War. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Except you can't, because I turned you off. War is the theme of today's show, ladies and gentlemen, because it seems like everyone is going to war. Everything has turned on its head, ladies and gentlemen. We can't get entertainment right. We can't get pro wrestling right. We can't even keep our planet from burning its own air supply. My God in heaven, folks, we are headed to hell in a handbasket, and I'm glad you're all here with me tonight to join me on this wonderful ride as we bequeath on to all of you episode 103 of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and my God in heaven, much to discuss. Now, on the theme, the topic of war, okay, we're gonna do a quick little highlight here of what's to be discussed here tonight. Of course, I've got to talk a little bit about NXT versus AEW. It's the scuttlebutt in the pro wrestling world. NXT, the brand that everyone loves, against AEW, that new shiny toy that everyone else is going to love once it debuts on television. But when it does, NXT will have a running start on them. How will that go? We'll talk about that later on here on the show. War also lands on the entertainment spectrum. While I was in Florida, in Orlando, about two exits from the house that the mouse built, we hear breaking news. Sony and Marvel have separated. They have divorced Tom Holland, the poor, unfortunate stepchild who will be destroyed in the process of all this. There's a chaos all over the kingdom. The MCU has lost its future star player just to go back to the JV bullshit league it was in before. My God, so much to discuss there with that topic. I've got a litany of things that I need to get to, and not just limited to just those things, ladies and gentlemen. There's more to discuss here, but I've got to start with me. I've got to start with me, folks. I am back here at the House of O. We went on the Orsinis, went on an ocation. We went on an ocation across down to Florida, Orlando, of course. The O's supporting O-Town. Going down there and Relaxation City. For those of you who don't follow me on social media, shame on you. You should follow me. I have all the information below on social media. The last week or so was a bad time to follow Orsini on social media because I did not have a whole lot going on the social media, and because, believe it or not, folks, I did not travel very much with my phone. I had my phone when we would leave the hotel to go out to eat. I had my phone when we went to amusement parks. I had my phone for Hollywood Studios. But for the most part, Legoland, all the water park stuff, we had an amazing pool set up with a little mini water park in our hotel. I did not bring my phone for any of those situations. So, if you messaged me, I eventually got back to you because we got back on Thursday. So I eventually did get back to a lot of people. But I was on a dead zone because when I'm on vacation with my family, I like to focus on my family. So I didn't really do too much. I did an episode, which was kind of another situation all on its own. I had to do, I don't think it was even a full hour. I think it's about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that on that last episode that I did 102, where I ran down some things that I was feeling about the King of the Ring and the G1 and all this other stuff. That was done in the hotel room with my lapel mic because I didn't bring my equipment, Avi, because I'm not going to bring that through TSA. Fuck those guys. I'm not going to put that precious material in their hands. I'm just not going to do that. So I did what I could for the situation. Thank you all for bearing with me. And I got quite a few downloads. So thank you guys for checking it out. My commitment continues. Never a broken week. 102 straight weeks. And now here we are, 103. I'm a little late today. I'm recording this on time, but I don't think I'll be able to post it on time. I changed my day to Saturday. So we're trying to get into the groove of things as far as scheduling these things in. I'm not on my regular schedule just yet. I start my classes for this upcoming semester, literally this upcoming week. So once we get on that schedule, I'll have a better idea of where and when I can fit in recording these, and it'll be up on time. Until then, we're still kind of on vacation. We haven't gotten back to work yet, so I'm kind of on an off schedule right now. So I'm trying to fit it in whilst still getting in my family time. This has been a really good time for all of us getting together, bonding and whatnot. So we're having a good time with that, and I hope you guys are having a good time wherever you are. So real quick, before we get into all this war that we've got to get to, it's war time, baby. We've got to get into it. I would like to let everyone know that I partook in this warlike a thought process, this mindset of war. During the course of this vacation, my wife and I, you know, New Yorkers are treated pretty fairly well over in Florida. You know, but they make the joke that it's the real South Bronx is Florida. There's so many New Yorkers who are in Florida that we had ourselves a really good time, and we get treated really, really well while we're there. Having said that, you always have your stragglers. You always have your people that are just not in the mood for that bullshit, especially for people who are dealing with tourists all the fucking time like you do in Orlando. We had ourselves a grand old time. One of the great amusement areas they have down there, we call it great. It's a little expensive, but it's great because it has a lot of different things that my son doesn't normally do. Now, my son is 4. So the last 2 years, we took him to Orlando. We're kind of limited in the things that we can do, and we were kind of limited on what he can get on because of his height, yada, 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 yada. Well, he's 4 years old, 40 inches tall. 42 is usually the baseline for most crazy rides, so he didn't get on all the adult rides, but usually 40, he's good to go with an adult, which is kind of what we want to do with him anyway. We want to go on rides with him. So apparently, I found out over the course of this week that my son is a sick, sadistic son of a bitch. I didn't know this. I didn't know this about my son. I didn't know that he was such a psychopath. I didn't realize he had a death wish so early in his life. This fucker will get on fucking anything. Anything. It doesn't matter the speed. It doesn't matter the height. This fucker will get on anything. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, he's your son. Of course he's going to be badass. But no, I'm not a badass when it comes to amusement parks. I hate amusement parks. I hate them. I don't like rides. I don't like going fast. I don't like dropping and having my stomach fall into my ass. Rides make me nauseous and gives me headaches. I don't enjoy it at all. My wife, on the other hand, pre-me, used to be a huge amusement park enthusiast and kind of fell off when she met me because I don't get on rides. So what's the point of going to the amusement park? So, but we would make the occasional exceptions. We like going to Hershey Park, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Florida this week, right? So we're trying to do different things with him. We're trying to explore different things with him. And by golly, he got on fucking literally everything, which forced me to get on way more than I wanted to and forced my wife to have a partner when she got on. So it was really cool. They have these different race car tracks, go-karts and stuff like that, that he can get on. And they were fucking zipping, uphill, downhill. Okay, I mean, these fucking cars were fucking moving. And this four-year-old kid is just sitting there smiling his fucking ass off in a double car, just whizzing. He was doing fucking great. To come back here and then go to the park and go on a swing felt like horseshit at that point. I mean, the fuck is a swing going to do after going what I can only assume for him would have been 80 G's flying out of the pocket with a fucking go-kart, the way those things were moving anyway. Yeah, so he got on roller coasters, all kinds of shit. So anyway, we get to one of the spots, Fun Spot, as a matter of fact, it's called Fun Spot America. I don't mind saying their name because for the most part, that place is awesome. But we might have caught one of those locations because we went to two different locations, one in Kissimmee, which is the one we're familiar with, and we've never been to the one in Orlando. The hotels in the past we've gotten in Kissimmee, Lake Buena Vista, we've never really been in the Orlando area, per se. So we did it this time. We went to the Orlando area. We took him to the Fun Spot America over there to try to see if we can get some different shit in, and which we did. But unfortunately, I think we may have come at like the wrong time period because that place is open till midnight. But yet we rolled in, I want to say like around 6, 7 o'clock. And it seemed like the whole child area, which has like 9 or 10 different fucking rides in it, only had like 2 people fucking working it. So it's like they have to operate one ride. When the ride's over, they pack up, they go to the next fucking ride. And we're wondering to ourselves, why the fuck is this place so goddamn understaffed? Turns out, as we went through the rides and people started showing back up, almost that whole section went on break all at once. It must have been like 8 or 9 fucking people all gone on break simultaneously. No idea why. The place wasn't that busy, so maybe that's why. But, I mean, it was busy enough to where people were fucking needed. So, anyway, the people who are there are getting irritated. They're getting, because we have to wait. Like, we have kids. And kids don't have the patience to sit here and realize, rationalize. Oh, they're taking a break. You know, they want to get on this fucking ride. So the kids are getting restless. Not just mine, but like just in general, facility. So parents, everyone's getting all fucking worked up. Everyone's getting pissed off. Everyone's in a shitty mood. And one of the two workers that was working and weren't on break just had a really shitty attitude. It just kept going from spot to spot to spot. And eventually got to the roller coaster, which my son hadn't gotten to yet, but we were at a ride adjacent to it. We were like right next door. She did the ride. That ride had the biggest line. So she does one ride, one run around, boom, 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 3 turns, comes back and shuts that shit down. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that again. And she literally kicks all the children off. So the parents obviously are like, what the fuck? Like, we have like this pass you can scan. We take as many rides as we want. There's no additional line. It's just the kids that are on the roller coaster. They're like, oh, so we can do it again. Obviously, there's no line, there's no way. She just took it upon herself to say she wasn't going to do it again because she's got to service other people. Meanwhile, I'm going to say 80% of the people were at that roller coaster. She just didn't want to do the fucking roller coaster anymore. And then out of nowhere, while she's battling with parents, she just yells out loud, I'm pregnant, I shouldn't be doing this ride anyways. Like, bitch, you're not doing the ride, you pushing the button. You're too pregnant to push the button? I don't understand. Is it the shaking of the platform? What the fuck are you talking about? What is you being pregnant? Which, by the way, if you were standing there when she said that and you looked at her, you would not be able to tell if she was fucking pregnant. If she's pregnant, she found out, like, when her shift started. There's no fucking way, because she was, like, 100 pounds maybe. And she's just like, I'm pregnant. I shouldn't be doing this anyway. It's like, bitch, you're not putting your fetus on the coaster. Just push the fucking button. If it makes it feel any better, push the button and walk off the platform. Just push the fucking button. I don't understand what the fuck. It's a button. You just push the button, Felicia. I don't know what her name is, but she looked like a Felicia. Felicia, just push the fucking button. I don't understand what the fucking problem is. Push the button. That's all you got to do. Anyway, it doesn't matter because right after she left, some other guy came and they just kind of rolled their eyes. I guess they're used to her shit. She's one of them people. So they're like, all right, listen, we'll do this. Just don't worry about her. And they went and we had a fun time anyway. But it was just hilarious because you could tell someone's losing an argument when they just throw the Hail Mary, the little grenade in there. Where it's like, well, I did that. I did that. Well, I'm pregnant. Who fuck? So my kid can't take a second ride on the coaster because some guy made a mess in your uterus? That is not my fucking problem. That is your fucking problem, and apparently whoever your doctor is, that's their problem. Not my fucking problem at all. Jesus Christ, my son just wants to go on a fucking roller coaster. That's it. A shitty one at that. It wasn't even, like, my son ate that. It wasn't even that big of a deal coaster. It was kind of an annoyance to him. He got off like... like after the go-karts, like that's nothing. After whizzing through at 180 miles an hour on a fucking track with no control, a fucking coaster that goes 2 feet off the ground is nothing, especially for a supposedly pregnant woman. Anyhow, yeah, we had a little bit of war there, but it was, ironically enough, it was at that place that night, as a matter of fact, when I got the message from a few friends that the marriage was over. Sony and Disney, we got to talk about this for just a quick second. We've got to harp on this. Sony and Disney having splits, the Splitsvilles here. For those of you who are not too familiar with the situation, there was a cohesion agreement between Marvel and Marvel Studios and Sony. Sony owns the movie rights to Spider-Man. That was sold to them by Marvel many, many moons ago. Many, many moons ago. The 90s. Just a long fucking time ago. And Marvel's never really been in a position to get it back. Fast forward almost 2 decades. A little over a decade after they sold those rights. And Marvel Studios, Kevin Feige gets on board to start making money hand over fucking fist with these Marvel movies. And all of a sudden, Spider-Man becomes a lot more interesting to Marvel. And Sony already had a trilogy and a reboot and a sequel. So they already had 5 Spider-Mans in the can there. And Sony, although having 5 movies under their fucking belt, they're not really, on a creative level, they weren't really great films. They just weren't. The first one with Tobey Maguire, when it first was released, Spider-Man 1, was very, very good. It was received very, very well. It was very different. It was a take on a Marvel character as far as movies goes that was... you couldn't even fathom it at the time because Marvel movies just didn't come out like that. So it was definitely a big-time move for the first one. The second one did the worst of the three. I know people don't believe that when they take a look at Spider-Man 3, but Spider-Man 3 actually grossed the most. Spider-Man 3, but I think that was more through hype and through everything else. That's the movie with the dancing scene and all kind of blah 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 blah. Anywho, the bottom line is that fucking series died a death. It died far sooner than it probably should have. And then they did the reboot with Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. And let's not even speak on those two fucking films. There was just... that shit was doomed from the word fucking go. It was just doomed. It was not that great. Anybody who tells you any different will probably tell you that because they enjoyed the film, which is nothing wrong with that. You can find a film that isn't very well critically received and still enjoy the film. One of my favorite films of all time is Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. And it's been on TV a lot recently, so maybe that's rekindled that a little bit, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time. If you look at that film, it is a terrible fucking movie. Just top to bottom, terrible. But if you're inebriated enough, it's the greatest fucking film you've ever seen in your fucking life. You've got to, if you haven't lived until you've gotten inebriated, I don't care your substance of choice, just get inebriated and watch Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, and you will fucking have a laugh so deep within the belly. You will have a crazy laugh. It'll be a great time. But that's my point. Sony was digging itself into a fucking hole. Okay? It just was. Which is why they
completely axed a third Amazing Spider-Man, and they just kind of left it alone. Kevin Feige and the guys over at Marvel Studios gets their hands on the entity. They incorporate it into what they've got going on. Great casting choices along the way. Rebooting to the point of making him a kid again. Starting from scratch. Basically rebuilding from the ground up. And it works. It just fucking works. Homecoming, mixed reviews, but Far From Home, very well reviewed. Jake Gyllenhaal's version of Mysterio looking good. They pulled back a little bit on the MCU characters to give this story a little bit more time. His inclusion, obviously, in Civil War and Avengers go without saying. Those movies are some of the highest grossing films in the world of all time. But that's my point. That's where I'm going with this, because it just seems like everyone's choosing sides, and I get it. I get it. It's hard. It's really hard to root for Disney on this. It is, especially for the average person, the average citizen. So the deal is, apparently what's been going on is there's a lot of details as far as marketing, money, and distribution, and toys, and all this different stuff. But what it really comes down to, I can sit here and spit all kinds of numbers at you, but the number that matters, the number is 5. That's the number that matters. 5%, which is the take-home that Marvel Studios takes when they release these Spider-Man films, which means 95% goes into the pocket of Sony when they produce and they market these films. Now, it's very, again, I understand it's very, very hard to root for the juggernaut. Right, for the monopoly, for Disney, who owns everything. I have right in front of me, the top 2019 movies grossing wise: Avengers Endgame, Lion King, Captain Marvel, Toy Story 4, and Spider-Man. If my memory serves correct, all four of those are Disney. I mean, all five of those are Disney films. If you want to, and that's domestically. If you want to go worldwide for the year, it's Endgame, Lion King, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man, Aladdin, and that's also a Disney film. So if you're talking, I mean, that's, if I'm looking at it right there, worldwide, 2.7 billion, 1.4 billion, 1.1 billion, 1.1 billion, and 1 billion. That's an awful lot of billions there. It's hard for people to be like, well, Disney kind of needs the money. So I get it. I get it. Sony's, quote-unquote, putting their foot down. And it's hard to see it from Disney's point of view because they're the conglomerate. I understand that. But Sony is fucking stupid. Okay? I actually, believe it or not, side with Disney on this. And this is why. Disney did something with Spider-Man Sony could not. They left people in a position to want more. By the time Sony had gotten to Amazing Spider-Man, people were fucking done with Spider-Man. They just were. They didn't want to see anymore. Once they stopped the Andrew Garfield one and then talks of another reboot started, the collective groan. Because Sony progressively over time, from Spider-Man 1 all the way down, just progressively got worse and worse and worse. And then Kevin Feige and the guys get a hold of it, and it's a billion-dollar entity yet again. So, for those of you out there who are saying, well, Disney's the greedy one, slow your roll for a second, because I have to ask you the question. If Disney is the company that is truly making the most money out of this situation, right? What leg does Sony really have to stand on in this argument? What do they really have? Because you can say, well, Sony owns the movie rights, right? They own the movie rights, so they own the property. They can do whatever they want with it. That's fine. But don't you understand that whatever they want to do with it is a very tough pill to fucking swallow, because what they do with it sucks. Don't you understand the point? It fucking sucks. Sony owns the right to Spider-Man, but Sony can't make a fucking Spider-Man movie. Don't you see the fucking problem there? Don't you see the possibility of them generating more money for themselves off of Spider-Man by leaving it in the hands of Disney? Now, you're probably saying, oh, they did that. That's the deal, right? Marvel gets 5%, Sony takes in 95%. So they were making money off of, you know, giving the property off to Marvel, and they were making money off that. Sony's happy with that deal. They would love to stay at 95 to 5%, and therein lies the problem, because as a businessman, if I'm – they own the rights. It would be like in wrestling terms, WWE owned the rights to the Dudleys. When they went to TNA, they had to change their name. They couldn't bring the Dudley name with them, right? And what was the argument that I told you guys before when we were talking about names in wrestling? The name doesn't mean anything. It's the person. It's the talent. Because you can have the naming rights to the Dudley Boys, and I'll go to TNA, and I'll be Team 3D, and I'll still make a bunch of, a boatload of fucking money while you sit here with this entity that you're not going to make a fucking dime off of. You're not going to make a fucking dime off of it. You're either going to let it sit, which is what they did, until they gave it back to them when they hired him again, or you can slap it on another tag team and they won't make any fucking money because they're not us. It's the same deal. Sony did Spider-Man movies. They started off really good, and then boop, 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 until it fell off of a fucking cliff. MCU grabs it, brings it up, refurbishes it, makes it look real fucking nice, makes it profitable yet again. Mind you, Civil War, two Avengers films, and two standalone films. We've had Tom Holland as Spider-Man 5 times, and people still want to see it. They were looking forward to where this story was going. That's something Sony could not do. So for everyone saying, good for Sony for putting their foot down, that is dumb. It is dumb to put your foot down on this, because what are you going to do with it? Now, I know that there was talk for a while that the Sony side of things, they wanted to include Spider-Man into the Venom universe, and Spider-Man and Venom, and there's Mobius, there's all kinds of things they want to do with that rogue gallery and all that stuff. That's fine. Who's going to write that? Because I had a buddy of mine tell me the other day, well, now that they know what Kevin Feige did, and they kind of have a feel for how this should go, now that they have it in their own hands again, they'll hire some good writers, they'll come in and they'll figure it out. What good writers? What are you talking about? Because you had 5 movies before now. Okay, and I just said that Marvel got 5 movies out of Spider-Man. Sony has 5 movies out of Spider-Man. Those two teams don't work. The Marvel version destroys the other one, and it's not even fucking close. Okay, it's not even comparable. As far as the, I'm not even talking about money or success of the film. I'm talking about pure character development, interest in the character, just the way that they did it, from beginning to meeting Tony Stark till the end, Far From Home, defeating Mysterio. It's just from beginning to end character development, the way they took you on this ride, it's not even fucking close, in my opinion. It's not even fucking close. So Sony's going to put their fucking foot down, and they're going to say, okay, we're not going to give up our entity like this and do it, because what Marvel wanted was a 50-50 split. And this is going to sound crazy, but they should have a 50-50 fucking split. They're doing all the fucking work here. Sony is just sitting in the back jacking off, getting paid. Marvel's doing all the fucking work. Kevin Feige and the guys are taking this. All Sony brought to the table was the fucking license. That's all they did here. We give you permission to utilize our rights. That's it. Sony owns the movie rights. They don't own Spider-Man. So all this shit about toys and distribution and all that garbage, it is most definitely on the table to negotiate, because you don't fucking own it. Marvel still fucking owns Spider-Man. Sony just owns the movie rights. That is it. That is why you have Spider-Man shows on Disney XD. That is why you have a litany of Spider-Man products spread across just Disney and all kinds of shit. When we got off in Florida, the Spider-Man stuff is right alongside with everybody else's shit. The only thing you own the rights to is the movies, which is why I understand from the Sony point of view, why would I want to give up? If the only attachment I have is through this one genre here, movies, why would I give up my 95% stake, drop myself down to 45% just because They asked me to when they're going to make money hand over fist on the rest of that shit anyway. This is the only part, my only portion of the pie. And the reason why I say you should do this is because at least that 50% of the pie that they're serving is a big fucking pie. These movies are in the billions category. When Spider-Man was just in the Sony hands, they never touched billion. I had it fucking in front of me. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to pull it up again because I think this is important. I think we need to go over this. We need a refresher here. Spider-Man Far From Home. Here we go. Spider-Man Far From Home. Currently still in theaters running, but limited release. 1.1 billion. 26th all-time right now. The closest, that's 26th. The closest is Spider-Man 3, 60th all-time, 890 million. And then just underneath that, Spider-Man Homecoming at 880. Okay? And that's worldwide. The original Spider-Man at 821, and then Spider-Man 2 at 783. The Amazing Spider-Man way down here at 757. And that's the first one. The second one's not even fucking on here. It's not even top 100. The Amazing Spider-Man clocks in at number 99 here at 757 million. That's it. So the Andrew Garfield one's not even in the fucking conversation. Now we're just talking about the original three, which I admitted, the first one was a success. It shocked a lot of people on how they were able to portray the character, but it was they never followed up with anything good after that. This version, the MCU version, has just been hit after hit after hit after hit. What are you going to do with this? Good for Sony for stepping up to the juggernaut that is Disney, because Disney just thinks they could just buy whatever they want. They could just bully whoever they want. I get it. It's hard to root for Disney in this. It's hard. But they're not wrong. They're doing all the work here. And they're generating all the funds. If the roles were reversed, okay, if Sony was generating billions of dollars with their entity, forget Spider-Man for just a second. Leave that out of the window, because it doesn't really matter. This has nothing to do with Spider-Man. It has everything to do with the bottom fucking dollar. If Sony and Marvel had a reversed relationship, where Sony, I know it's hard to believe, but think about it for a second. Sony had a movie entity that generated billions of fucking dollars, and they did it cohesively with Marvel Studios, where Sony was making 5% of the take-home of the overall gross from the movies, and Marvel was making 95%, okay? You're trying to tell me that if Sony was doing all the work, Sony did have put all the creative together, they went out there and attached their product to all that other stuff and made $2, $3, $4 billion. They're not going to come to the table with Marvel and ask for a bump? You're fucking crazy. Of course they're going to ask for a bump. This is the seriousness of what happened here. But in sports terms, Marvel signed a rookie contract. They signed the rookie contract. They took whatever deal Sony had to offer, because the bottom to the point of all this was to get Spider-Man in. Once they got him in, then it became very easy at that point to show it to the audience and say, look, this is what happens when two conglomerates work together and we're peaceful and everything's working great, right? And they got everyone used to it and attached to the idea that Spider-Man was in, and they put Sony in a position where they knew that once they asked for more money, and that if Sony said no, they would look like the bad guys. That's why Sony jumped on this so fast, because they didn't want to appear like the bad guys. As a matter of fact, their PR firm was perfect, because what they ended up doing was painting the picture that Disney was the big, bad, greedy bastards. When in reality, yes, they are greedy. That's how you become a billionaire. That's how you make billions of dollars, by being greedy. They own the market. Sony has no fucking leverage at all whatsoever. The only reason they're even eating at the big table is because of Marvel when they sold them those movie rights. If they didn't have those movie rights and Marvel was just doing their own fucking thing, we wouldn't even be fucking having a conversation about Sony. They're getting more PR from this deal falling through than I think than when it did originally. Because I don't, because even then, when it came into the MCU, the talk was Spider-Man's in the MCU. It wasn't really a whole lot of talk about Sony. Now we're talking about Sony in a positive form for some people and a negative for others. So yeah, I get it. It's hard to sit here and be like, well, Disney, you know, they really need the money. They don't fucking need the money. They're a conglomerate. They're a fucking monopoly. They're trying to rule the fucking world. Have you seen this D23 stuff coming out from their convention? All the different news, all the different bullshit they got coming out of here. I got it right in front of me right here. This fucking Twitter feed is fucking jammed to the fucking rafters of shit. Look at this. Right here, look at this. Forky asks a question, for Christ's sake. Ewan McGregor coming back as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Kenobi series. Star Wars has like 3 live actions coming out on Disney+. She-Hulk. She-Hulk. We have, here it is right here, Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel. The Phase 4 shows that were already fucking announced. There's a Lady and the Tramp movie fucking coming out. They've got fucking Monsters at Work, which is going to be a series on fucking Disney+. Phineas and Ferb is getting a fucking movie. They're bringing back Lizzie McGuire. And you want to fucking tell me that Disney's the one who's going to hurt by not having fucking Spider-Man in there? Fucking look at this shit. They're bringing back High School Musical. These motherfuckers are just mad with power at this point. They're calling all these motherfuckers up. You've already, look at this right here. This one had my wife laughing earlier. They already canceled a show on the streaming service, and the streaming service isn't even fucking up yet. Book of Enchantment, an adaptation of the Villains book series by Serena Valentino for Disney+, isn't in development anymore due to creative reasons. They are having creative issues with shows that haven't fucking aired yet. Go ahead, keep trying to tell me that Disney's in trouble because Spider-Man's not in the MCU. They announced Black Panther's release date. They've got sequels coming up. The fucking Proud Family is right in front of me. New episodes of The Proud Family will be produced. They're bringing all kinds of fucking shit back. And you're going to fucking try to sit there and fucking tell me that Disney's in trouble? They own the fucking world. What is this, Short Circuit? Not my Short Circuit. Nah, it's a film studio thingy. Whatever. Yeah, that's the point. All kinds of new shit coming out. Disney's doing streaming. Disney's doing movies. Disney's doing everything. Everything. And not just movies, but like big... I mean, they're breaking fucking box office records. Stop. Just stop. Spider-Man gone is a hurt in the sense of creative. They put a lot on the idea that he was going to be around. Now he's not. So guess what, folks? You know what you get now? We're back to Captain Marvel. That's right. Carol Danvers is back to being the focal point. She'll be the number one star in the MCU, and all you fucking haters are just going to have to sit there and fucking suck it. That's what you're going to have to fucking do. Sit there and suck. But you know what doesn't suck? I'll tell you what doesn't suck. I got a few people who have been helping out with the show big time. They've been big time help, and I'm going to give them a little shine here because I'm going to be honest with you. Without them, I would not have been able to get a lot of this shit done before my vacation. I had a lot of work to do before I went on vacation. I got it all done thanks to the good folks over at To Be Seen. Hey guys, Orsini here, and I just want to take the time to thank our sponsor for the live WrestleMania Roundtable, tobeseen.com. That is the number 2, BESCENE.com. They are an entertainment and videography company, and I have given them big 2 thumbs up. I have used them in the past for my own pro wrestling company, and I'm glad to be working with them yet again with the podcast. Now, again, they're an entertainment and videography company. They do it all, baby. They storyboard, they film you, they edit, they publish all in one place. It's easy come, easy go. They even have the ability to shoot the baby in 4K. If you're a YouTuber or an internet sensation coming up, these are the people that you want to contact and work with. What's that? You're not a YouTuber? You're not trying to be all over the place? That's fine. You can still go to their website for entertainment purposes. They hold live trailer chats. They discuss movies and anything entertainment. Check it out again. The number 2, BESCENE.com. Reminds me of Russia. Absolutely. Except you don't, because I paused it again. So, yes, we're continuing with our warlike theme here. AJ is declaring war, not just on those in amusement parks, not just between Sony and Disney, but the pro wrestling world as well has declared war. Now, what do I mean by that? Of course, everyone knows, I've been talking about it here on the show, All Elite Wrestling made a big announcement just before my vacation, so I didn't really get a chance to talk about it, but we had a date, October 2nd, TNT. We even have a city. They're going to be starting off in Washington, D.C., the capital of the world here, or the capital at least of our country, and they're going to be putting on their first display of athleticism on TNT since the Nitro days. Way back, what's that, 2001, I think, is when it all came crumbling down for WCW. And now we're back. So let's talk about this for a second, because I want to clarify something. And I want to clarify three things. And I'm going to clarify them all right here. First of all, number one, I have been claiming war since day one. I have been vilified, and I have been told otherwise. But my episode 89, as a matter of fact, is right in front of me. The war is coming. I said this episode. This is episode 103 that we're bequeathing onto you, okay? We're bequeathing episode 103, okay? I told you people, war was coming. I said this. I prepped you. I told you exactly how this was going to happen and how this was going to go down. Because a lot of you kept saying, what war? There's no war. AEW does not want war with the WWE. WWE does not want war with AEW. They are going to just be two entities separate from one another, doing business, and blah, 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 blah. You know, all that stupid shit that everybody was saying. Because it's stupid. It's done. It's dumb. If you have product A and someone else has product B, and A and B are the same fucking shit, then whether you like it or not, you're in fucking competition with each other. That's basic business. Basic business. That's how that fucking works. You are, without a doubt, without any doubt, 100% in competition with one another. You are. So WWE and AEW, even if they weren't on the same night, would still be competing with each other because it's just natural business. They are supplying a very similar product. Very similar product to the general public. It's the same stuff. Not just wrestling fans, but to the general public, which is where I lose wrestling fans all the time when I sit here and say the general public. Because a wrestling fan will tell me the WWE is sports entertainment, AEW is pro wrestling. They're two completely different things. They're not. To the people who are going to be spending money on these products moving forward, and for the people that AEW and the WWE will be going after as far as fandom, as far as money, as far as ratings, are casuals. Because casuals is where the money is. And I know Cody went forward and he said, we will not be catering to the casual audience. We are going to be worried solely about pro wrestling fans. He's full of shit. It's a carny move. That's not how that works. You can't build a business that's backed by a billionaire, that's on a national network, servicing a niche audience. Doesn't work. Has never worked. Will never work. So while Cody says all the right things to keep the pro wrestling fans chomping at the bit, buying those t-shirts, it ain't going to change the fact that he's fighting for the same goddamn audience every other fucking company that's ever been on national fucking television is competing for. The casual. You need to come to grips with the idea that as a wrestling fan, you are a niche. You are a percentile. You are not the majority. That's why when I posted on Facebook and said, during my vacation, I felt strongly enough where I did post this during vacation. I said, and I told the world, a very, very simple thing. For as long as general pop love something, the niche won't. Which is where NXT is falling into place here, because NXT is niche. It's not underground, because it's got great production, but it's on the network. It's a streaming service. It's not on the television where everyone can see. Because I know it's hard for people to fathom, but not everyone's on the computer. So it's very hard for certain demographics to get their hands on NXT, thus making it niche. Once it goes onto USA Network, it no longer becomes niche. Now it's accessible to everybody. I can DVR it. I can flip through channels and bump into it by accident. It's no longer just your toy. Now it's everyone's toy, thus making it less appealing. I promise you, people will start shitting on NXT once it hits the USA Network. And people like to use the caveat. They like to go the other way. Well, I'll only really hate it if Vince gets his hands on it. Of course he's going to get his hands on it. It's fucking television on his network where he's got the other products on. So while he may not have a day-to-day hands-on role with NXT, he will definitely be an influence because it's his fucking product and he can do that. If you were Vince McMahon, you'd have a fucking hand in it too. Regardless of what the fucking Twitter said about how in control of shit you are. You're still going to go out there and do what you need to do because it's your fucking company and that's your responsibility to go out there and do that. So now we have Monday Night Raw. We've got SmackDown on Tuesday, which is, if I'm not mistaken, moving to Thursday. I think it's Thursday. Moving to Thursday. And now we have NXT, which is already on Wednesday, by the way. So it's not like it's moving specifically out of spite. They were going to compete anyway. Just one's a streaming site and one was going to be on national television. But now we have USA versus TNT yet again. So I have to clarify. I clarified the one thing there. Okay. I need to clarify one other thing. We need to clarify right now that we can all agree that there's a war coming. But we have to clarify who the war is between. Because there is a belief that the war is between the WWE and AEW. And I can tell you right now, from personal experience, I can tell you, it ain't with them. Yeah, there's going to be some words said. Yeah, there's going to be some shots taken. Yeah, there's going to be some jaw-jacking. But you know what? That happens. Don't misinterpret playful banter with realness. You can't do that. It's like, and I usually give a sports analogy with this, but it's like the Yankee fan and the Red Sox fan. Maybe not today, but definitely back in the day when this feud actually meant something, it was very hard for fans to fathom the idea that the players don't care nearly as much about the rivalries as the fans do. When the Yankees play the Red Sox, or when the Bears play the Packers, or when whatever, the Texans play the Cowboys, or whatever the fuck, right? You get the fan bases froth at the mouth. They get fucking aggressive. They get fucking mad. Oh, they're the fucking enemy, right? I hear it all the time. I dare a Giants fan to wear his jersey in Philly. Well, it's not the Vet anymore. It used to be the Vet, but I dare. Well, I will fuck them up. Right? But the same teams that you're rooting for, they get together, they have dinner with each other, they hang out, you know, they're not work. To them, it's a fucking business. Also, to them, it's not smart to burn a potential bridge because you can get traded tomorrow. You know, what kind of city loyalty is a person going to have if they can get traded on the spot? No fucking ifs, ands, or buts about the whole situation. They could be removed at any fucking minute. The same thing's happening here, folks. The war ain't with WWE, and it ain't with AEW. It damn sure ain't with the wrestlers. And I saw something the other day that really made me think to myself, man, I really didn't think I'd have to go through this and explain this, but it is what it is. I have a couple of buddies of mine, as everyone knows, LAX is had announced they're leaving Impact Wrestling. Have they announced where they're going? No. Do I know where they're going? No. And I don't want to know because I don't want to be responsible for that information. But we do know officially, based on their social media, that they are leaving Impact Wrestling. Now, Impact Wrestling, without a doubt, is a big reason why they have success on a mainstream level. There's no arguing that. They admit it. They've paid homage to them for giving them the opportunity to ply their trade on a big stage on another level and giving them the opportunity to be courted by some of the biggest companies in the world. They thank them. They're grateful to them. They put food in their kids' bellies and clothes on their children's backs. And I would know because I know their families and I know their kids. So I know these guys are humble as hell, and I know for a fact they are super appreciative of the opportunities that were given to them in Impact Wrestling. Having said that, this is a motherfucking business. And if there's an opportunity to make some real dough on another stage, then you have to explore that. Those same family members and kids that I just mentioned depend on that. Okay? They got to go out there and they got to do what they got to do. Period. I thought, in my mind, that that's common knowledge. Right? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking to myself, this is common knowledge. This is common. We're talking about common decency here. Right? I'm pretty sure in 2019... no fan truly believes in his heart this shit is that serious and that real, and they're going to show their appreciation, right? And I did. I saw a lot of people on that post showing their love, supporting them, or even some people trying to convince them to stay, or whatever the case may be. Everyone's got business advice. It's yada, yada, yada. But I saw a few people, and one person in particular, who used the word traitor. You're a traitor. Impact Wrestling gave you everything. They gave you the opportunity to do what you do on a big stage and blah, blah, blah. And you're leaving them high and dry for bigger money. How fucking dare you? And blah, 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 blah. And I thought to myself at first, I'm not going to lie, anger took over at first. Because I was just like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? But I had to catch myself. I did reply, but all I did was write clown because that was a clown statement. I didn't really go in depth, and I think he responded, but I resisted the urge to engage because this is what fandom is. Fan is short for fanatic. That's the way that it's always been described. That's the way that it is, and that's the way that it'll always be. You can't go back and forth with people on stuff like that because they just won't get it. They don't see it from your point of view. They're fans. They're more worried about their world than being worried about yours. That's why I always tell people coming up in the industry. You know, I tell them all the time. I said, you need to worry about you. The fans who love you today will hate you tomorrow. I promise. It's a guarantee. Fans flip-flop. That's just the way that it fucking is. They flip-flop back and forth. There's just no way about it. I have fans that have been with me since day one, and they're cool people, and that's great. I appreciate them because I've had fans of my work who turned on me and didn't like me anymore, but then I started doing something real cool, so they got back on board and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, so I always tell people, do what you do for you and don't worry about the rest. If they really love you, they'll follow you, and if not, what did you really lose? Right? Because fans will have you believe that you're the end-all, be-all. Fans will have you believe, I pay your salary, this is what you owe me. And that's not how this works. So people have to do what they have to do. So as far as this war goes, this is a great time right now to be a professional wrestler. The only thing is if I can ask, please, if you're just going to start handing out contracts, hand them out to talented people, because there's a lot of people walking around this industry playing pretend. They're not really doing this for real. There's some really good, genuine talent out there. And I'm not even advocating for myself, because I want to be home. So I'm not worried about myself. But there's a lot of good talent out there that deserve an opportunity, that are ready for that next level. Some guys, some veterans, that should have been picked up a long time ago. That are now people are using the excuse, well, they've been doing this for too long, the bump cart's full, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of guys in this industry still left on an indie level that should be on bigger stages. So with this opportunity coming up, not just here but now overseas, a lot of things happening in Gaijins over in Japan are becoming a bigger thing. There's more opportunity now than there has been in a very, 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 very long time. So AEW versus NXT, not a war with the boys, I can promise you that. Or the girls, for that matter. There'll be just like in sports, what I just told you, the rivalries, people going out to dinner, people hanging out. On the field, they're going to jaw jack. On the field, it's war. When that game is over, it ain't war anymore. It's going to be the same thing on camera. On camera, they're going to try to one-up each other. That's why you're going to hear chirping. You're going to hear talking back and forth, name-dropping, little things here and there just to take cheap shots. That's competition. That's not war. That's competition. That's one-upmanship. That's just playing the game. Don't confuse that with personal shit, because it ain't. Happened a lot in the attitude. Because remember, folks, this is another reminder for you. This is another thing I want to clarify. This is like the third thing, I think. We've seen this episode before. This is not the first time that there's been competition. And I'm not even talking just the Attitude Era. I just mean over the years. This is a thing in wrestling. That's why lately, when you hear promoters talk about running dates, and they go online and they check the date to see if anybody else is running so they can see if they're running against anybody, because they don't want to. Because in today's age, running against a promoter is detrimental. You can lose out on money. Before, it used to be a regular thing. You can co-promote against another promoter and see who wins out. Fans normally choose, you know, one or the other. That's where the real war between fans started, because you had to pick a side. You had to pick a side. If one show was at 8 o'clock in Philly, and I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes away from that venue was another venue running at 8 o'clock, you've got to choose. It's not like the G1 situation where NXT, you know, G1 went on earlier or whatever, and then NXT went on after or whatever. I think NXT, no, it was the other way, right? NXT went on early, and then the G1 went on at the 8 o'clock slot. All kinds of shit was moved around for the fans, so that the fans could enjoy it. Right, but they don't have to do so. Like back in the day, that's not how that shit worked. It didn't happen that way. They didn't just fucking wait for the promoters to do what they had to do and get out of the way so that they can promote. If they wanted to promote a show, they just fucking did it. That's all there is to it. They just fucking did it. That's it. And now we're doing it again. This time it's just on national television. Nitro versus Raw set the bar fucking high. And it's funny because this generation will be the first one to tell me that the Attitude Era was overrated, but yet they can't wait for the sequel. They're going to tell me the Attitude Era is overrated, but they can't wait for the sequel, which is what this is. It's the sequel. The only problem is that AEW was once again playing the role of early WWE. Because when Nitro came around, they had all the big guns. The WWE was the one that was shorthanded. They were the little guy. Even though they were on longer, they were in a dry spell. You go ahead and look back at those early 90 episodes of Raw. Holy God. Mantar, Bash Booker, we can do this all day. The Goon. That's the kind of shit we were dealing with. Then Nitro came in, spiced it up, took all of McMahon's big stars away, made it more real, took away Diesel, made Kevin Nash, did the whole deal with the angle and the invasion, and they were hot, they were fresh, and they changed it up. And it made the WWE change. This time around, AEW is the young WWE. It really is. If you take a look at WWE's current roster, you look at AEW's roster, it's not even fucking comparable. WWE's talent roster is deeper than it's ever been, and it's far deeper than any roster in the world today. It just is. The problem with the WWE is not the talent. The problem with WWE is the creative. They have all these bullets, but the gun sucks. AEW does not have that problem. That's a shiny new gun. They got no handcuffs over at AEW. There's no scripts. You go out there, you shoot wrestling promos, you run wrestling angles. They've got talent that needs to come up to speed to the platform that they have. That's the one thing AEW has the advantage on with the WWE. They don't have the handcuffs. TNT is just fine with a lot of the shit that they're doing. The Khan family is fine with what they're doing. They just need to go out there and direct the ship. That's it. And with a constant fresh balance of talent coming in, like almost like TNA, but on national television. Because AEW has They have signed exclusive talents, but they have an open door policy as well. They'll bring in some guys from one shots. They'll bring in some ladies from across the world to come in and figure some shit out. They'll do all that. They've got no problem with that. And that's going to make for a very interesting product, especially on national TV. A mixture of veterans and new talent, the way that AEW has, it has the element of interest. It's new. It's the shiny new toy. It's the one thing WWE doesn't have right now. It doesn't have interest. It doesn't have the intrigue that AEW has. But if that talent doesn't come up to speed fast enough, they're going to be exposed. And that ain't good. And by exposed, I mean things like the Young Bucks dating over and over and over and over again. We're going to provide you guys with the best tag team division in the world. And yet you've promoted almost no teams with the exception of the shows that you've done. You've got Best Friends, Private Party. You've got Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. You're building these teams as we speak. But none of them are screaming best tag team division in the world. You're going to have a tournament coming up that's going to showcase your tag teams. If that's a popcorn fart, that's exposure. That's being exposed. If you go out there for months on end and you say, we're going to give you a great tag team division, and then you don't deliver, that's a problem. If Cody Rhodes is going to keep coming out here and saying, we're not worried about the WWE, but walk around and keep throwing these Triple H things out, keep having these CM Punk Twitter arguments, you're going to come across as WWE light. And that's your heavyweight division. You've got these women coming in. You have showcased more Japanese women than your current roster women. And you haven't even put your women over. You're basically promoting another company's division at the expense of your own dime. And the reason for that is because they don't have a women's division yet. Not a full one anyway. A few talents, which are really good talents. They've signed some really good talent. But not enough. Not for a full division. We're coming around the bend. It's August 24th. We're coming around the bend. October 2nd is about 4, maybe 5 weeks away. So unless they start announcing more shit that I don't know about, this show's coming up looking a little light. They've got new talent. That doesn't mean they've got great talent. We have to see how it translates over to television. And word going around the bend with the Tony Schiavone deal, that's another thing. The commentary in AEW is atrocious. Atrocious. It's unlistenable. It's disgusting. It's Jin and it's everybody else. You bring in Tony Schiavone, from what I understand. Now, Tony's not in... This ain't the early 90s for Tony. I heard some of his MLW stuff. He's all right. But he runs the... That's not a saving grace either, because he'll have the same problem that Jim has. They can both call pro wrestling. No doubt about that. Two of the best pro wrestling commentators of all time. But they don't know the fucking product. You can see it. You can hear it. You can see it. Whenever they see these new gimmicks, these new moves, they don't fucking know what to call. They don't know what to fucking do. They hand it over to the younger guys. The younger guys drop the ball. It's pro wrestling 101 all over again for these guys. They have to go back to basics here because they don't know a lot of the talent. Schiavone ran into that problem a lot in MLW. He would mess up names. He would mess up finishing names. He still sounded good because he's a professional. He knows what he's doing. But these blind spots are caught by purists. They're caught by hardcore fans. And these mistakes, they just can't happen. WWE has its own set of problems in that department as well, commentary. Corey Graves went from being a guy that everybody was like, yes, finally a good commentator, to shut the fuck up. Renee Young is a mute. She doesn't have anything to fucking contribute. The best commentating team will be on Wednesday nights in NXT. And that's with Beth and Nigel and Mauro. That's the best commentating team in the world right now, in my opinion. The one team I can listen to those three people talk wrestling all day. Beth actually has shit to say. Nigel is a hell of an analyst. And Mauro is he's a poet. He likes to rhyme shit. I still say Submission Magician is his best fucking line ever of all time. But he's got a lot of them. He can go all day. NXT versus AEW is basically, it's a mirror match. It's Sub-Zero versus Scorpion. It's the same fucking show. Same fucking show. And if they really want to compete with AEW, They better take those fucking handcuffs off. The handcuffs are off in NXT. They're allowed to wrestle. They're allowed to do certain things in NXT that they can't do on Raw and SmackDown. If they want to compete with AEW, that shit needs to stay exactly the way that it is. They need to be able to go in there and run wrestling angles and draw money through pro wrestling. That's the only way they're going to do it. And I've got an episode on here. Let's go all the way back. I think it was episode, it's like a single digit. It's an early episode. Which one is it? There it goes. Episode 7. To be or not to be a brand. I did that episode right after I had a conversation with my family about NXT. Is NXT a brand? And we fought over and over and over and over. And I kept telling everybody, until NXT is a place for talent to go as opposed to a talent to be pulled from, it will never be a brand. Now we're in a situation where it's going to be on national television, same as Raw and SmackDown. It's going to have its own talent pool, same as Raw and SmackDown. I'm sure if possible, they'll be interchanging some talent. It's about to be a brand. Now it's going to be a brand. Now because it has to be. And for the record, regardless of its popularity, it's the C brand. It's the third brand. It's Raw, SmackDown, and then it's NXT in that order. Regardless of popularity, regardless of which one you think is better, on the priority sheet in WWE, that's the C team. So the C team is going against AEW every Wednesday night, starting from September, and then when AEW debuts in October. And that's the way that it's going to go from now on. So as far as this war goes, let's keep things into perspective. That war is not between the boys and the girls. That war is between the fans at best and the promoters at times. Yeah, they're going to throw some cheap shots. They're going to go back and forth a little bit. But it ain't going to be personal because at the end of the day, the goal is to get your money. And they're going to get it, especially if you go through with this whole we're going to war thing. Now, I know a lot of people who are online saying, well, it's not a war for me. I'm going to watch both, which is a new problem to have because I grew up in the Attitude Era and I grew up with Nitro versus Raw. And the way that I did it, and I've told this story before, but I'll say it again real quick because it fits into my point. They used to have Nitro replays. So the Nitro would start at 8 and run to 11. And then they would replay it again from 11 to, what's that, 2 o'clock? 12, 1, 2, yeah, 2 o'clock. So what I would do is I would watch the first hour of Nitro 8 to 9. Then I would watch Raw from 9 to 11, and then watch the whole 3 hours of Nitro right after. So that's 7 hours of one repeated, but 7 hours straight of Monday Night Wrestling. And then Saturday night, I'd watch Thursday. We would do SmackDown and Thunder. Same deal, because Thunder would replay. And then I'll watch my ECW on the Madison Square Garden channel, which is that even still a thing? I got to look that up. I don't even know if it's still a thing. But the MSG channel at 2 in the morning on Saturday. That was my weekly itinerary as far as wrestling. This time around, I don't have to do that. And neither do you. You don't have to choose which brand you want to watch because it was competing against each other. A lot of you people are going to DVR. A lot of you people are going to stream. A lot of you people are going to download. There isn't going to be a Nielsen rating battle between the two. That's why people kept saying earlier, oh, with them competing, I hope we get to see those ratings go up 4, 5, 6, 7 like before. It ain't going to happen because people just don't watch television like that. I know more people right now in my life who don't have cable as opposed to those who do. Me and my wife have had genuine conversations about whether or not we should cancel our cable and just do the streaming sites. Because even on the stations, like I have Spectrum, we have a Netflix channel. I don't even have to go to my Xbox or my phone for Netflix anymore. I just go to the channel. So it's definitely, we're in a different time. This competition is going to be very different from before. But it's also going to be a very interesting time in the sense of how wrestling fans perceive this and how much of a quote-unquote war we actually get. I think it's going to lead to more creative situations. I'm happy that war, quote-unquote, is the whole premise, the whole idea of this. Because it's going to make fans be more vocal as if they aren't already. But more vocal in the sense of on a more popular mainstream level. The whole niche idea of pro wrestling, when the Attitude Era hit and it became Gen Pop because of the competitive nature. It seemed hot. It seemed like where it was at. Hopefully, we can get that dynamic back again. But remember, television today is different than television 20 years ago. Everything now is competitive. Every channel has something going on to face off against something from another channel and blah, 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 blah. It's far more competitive now. There's far more channels than there ever was before. It's just entertainment right now is a crowded, bloated mess under the umbrella of Disney, obviously. But it's all a conglomerate. It's all the same thing, and it's all merging into each other. So I say, personally, grab a chair, sit back, relax, get comfortable. I hope you remember that reference. And enjoy. Because I think what's about to happen right now is going to be some of the best creative wrestling we've had in a long time. I think Heyman on Raw and Bischoff on SmackDown will get competitive again because now they don't have to be competitive against each other. They're not faking the competition. There's a real competitor out there now. And they have to. Both sides have their weaknesses, but they all have their strengths as well. So I am going to personally sit back and enjoy. And I am going to wait for the sweet, sweet sounds of the cannonballs and the muskets and the AR-47s and the tanks go off as war continues on here in the world of pro wrestling. I want to take this time to thank all of you for listening. Take this time to thank all of you for downloading. Take this time to thank all of you for sharing. And of course, I want to take this time personally to thank all of you for enjoying. This has been a fun time. And this song is dope. I actually let him finish this time. I didn't even think about it. Hey. Okay, now you stop. You stop now. Okay? Anyway, yeah. All right, guys. Good night. Hey guys, AJ Orsini here, and I am the host of Pro Wrestling's number one podcast, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. How do I know I'm number one? Just gonna have to take my word on that. I'm Honest Joe here. I would not lie to you, and I'm telling you, 25 countries around the world here don't lie. I've been heard on every platform you can think of. I'm on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, CastBox, Google Play Music, Listen Notes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can catch me on all social media platforms, and you can catch new episodes of Orsini's Uncensored Mind every Saturday, 9 p.m. That's right, folks, number one in pro wrestling. You have to believe me, I am a voice on the internet.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUN. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.